everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart, here for another week on my big comfy couch with my big cup of coffee and my Italian snack, and I'm just looking forward to hanging out with you guys for another hour this week. Hopefully everybody's got their beverage, got their comfy spot, and you're taking a deep breath and relaxing and not getting too stressed out over the week's recent events. Are we going to war? Are we all going to die? Is there going to be nukes? Are we going to starve? What's going to happen? Everybody's energy is just all over the place. And please take a breath. Relax a little bit. Let's not get caught up in all of the drama and all of the emotional turmoil that they want us to be a part of. I listened to a video this week from an Oriental guy who claims that weather is witchcraft and that whatever weather they predict to happen, like, for instance, let's say it's supposed to rain tomorrow. If they put that out there on the forecast and everybody's energy fixates on that and just accepts it, okay, it's going to rain tomorrow, then it'll rain tomorrow. Why? Because we're all batteries. We all have the power. We're so incredibly gifted and we don't know it, that however we direct the energy is the way it's gonna flow. Everything is energy. Maybe I'll play the video in its entirety for you in a few minutes after I get done here talking, but the premise he's got is correct, except for the fact that he leaves out the weather modification. So aside from that, because we know that they're screwing with the weather, aside from that, in an organic setting, if they weren't touching anything or messing with anything, and they predicted rain for tomorrow because that's what they want to have happen, then he's absolutely right. In those scenarios, our energy can and does direct the outcome of not just weather, but any scenario that we envision and think about and grab a hold of. Thoughts are so important. Our energy together collectively is insurmountable. They could not overcome if, say, they predicted rain for tomorrow and everybody turned around and said, no, I don't want rain tomorrow. I'm going places. I'm going to a farmer's market. I'm going to a picnic. I'm going hiking. I'm going out with my friends. I'm having a barbecue. I'm having a graduation party. I want it to be sunny. And if everybody fixated their energy and focused their energy on there being a sunny day tomorrow, there would be a sunny day tomorrow. I'm living testament to this. I have done this. I have changed weather patterns. I have made it windy when it was still. I've made it rain when it wasn't raining. I've made it sunny when it wasn't supposed to be. Dark storm clouds, rain on the horizon, raindrops on my back deck. And I've been able to swing that and change that simply with my thoughts. That's one person. Imagine what all of us could do collectively as a whole. This is not something new. This is something I've been talking about for years. These are the times that we've been discussing all these years on my shows. This is what I've been preparing you for. You gotta believe me. There is a degree of what's happening that we can control. Then this is why there's going to be an uptick in the amount of fear mongering and an increase in the amount of videos and newscasts that we're seeing regarding certain things that are supposedly happening on the planet and the way in which they're predestining it for it to roll out and for it to physically happen. Because if they put that scenario out there in front of us and they plant that seed in our minds, then our energy will change that direction, or our energy will go in the direction of the seed that they planted in our minds. Oh my God, we're going to war. Iran is this, Israel's that, Russia's here, China's here. It's going to happen that way because we're seeing it happen that way. We're lending our energy toward that outcome. What we need to do is we need to focus on the outcome that we would like to see. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we're not going to know about, we'll never know about. One thing I do want to speak on, though, is I don't see this country going against Israel. Some people have the opinion. I was talking to my friend earlier this past week, but we were talking about it's too late. You know, I was like, Trump needs to keep his nose out of this. The response back was, it's too late for my buddy. And I'm like, you know, not necessarily. This has been something that has been an agreement. Israel's got power over the United States. And whether you want to believe it or not, there's a clip I am going to play you for sure about Carter and then Nixon both saying the same things. No president's going to go against Israel. And if they do, anybody elected, if they do go against Israel, they're not going to get reelected. So there's that. There are some things that we can still change, and we have to not fear monger. We have to not be anxious. We need to come from a state of calm. And that was one of the things that I've been speaking about with several people who have contacted me this week. What do you see happening? What do you think is going to happen? Do I need to prepare is a statement that was made to me. Well, this is something that I've been telling you guys about for years. You should have been prepared already. You should have been incrementally stocking your pantries, stocking up on water, getting your generators, getting your solar lights, digging a hole for homemade refrigeration, getting a root cellar, planting a garden, storing food, getting farm animals if you can, chickens, turkeys, things that you can easily manage if you have a small area or don't want to be bothered with the big stuff. Anything's better than nothing. And I've been instructing people over the years, there are so many things that you can do on a budget. You know, $5 a week or $5 a month, those extra cans of soup in your cupboard will help you later on. It's 5 cans more than what you had before you started. Rice, galvanized buckets, airtight sealing plastic bags, weapons. Have you been developing your networks? There are groups of people who believe they found their tribe and that in times of challenge that they would band together with these people and they would be somewhat of a community and be safe. And me personally, I wouldn't be within 50 miles of any one of them, because in times of strife, you need to have people who are calm, cool, and collected, who know survival skills, who aren't going to freak out at the drop of a hat and potentially turn on you, steal what you have, take what you have, turn you in. And I'm personally not going to put myself in any kind of position where I'm around a community of people that are not utterly trustworthy and people that I would be able to comfortably not only put my life in their hands, but have them have the belief and faith in me to know that I would have their back should something happen with them and they needed somebody to step into the gap and protect them. That's where we're at. If you're not 100% sure, you need to cut and reestablish firmer ties. And we're running out of time here, folks, as far as that goes. Energetically, that makes a huge difference, because one or two hens running around screaming their heads off, crying, falling apart, having meltdowns, running circles could thwart the whole operation. You need to make sure that everybody has specific duties and that they're very well trained in their duties. They need to be cross-trained. You can't just have like one medic, let's say, or one cook. They all need to be cross-trained, and they all need to be totally and utterly dependable and be able to handle stress, and they can't be flighty, most especially in a scenario where there are children involved, because children themselves, the energy and the stress and the potential crying and screaming and all of the things that children do when they're upset, especially if there's a very important need to keep them quiet, is going to be enough of a challenge without having adults in the mix that are going to freak out. Even in the most ideal of circumstances, if you're in your community group, the energy that you all lend to the group is going to be of significance beyond which you could even imagine. Because if everybody comes together and focuses their thoughts on what they want to see happen and what they want to accomplish, that energy is going to help them achieve their goals. If they're all fearful or anxious or there's trepidation, that energy is forced into reality, irregardless of the fact of whether or not they verbalize it or not. Just their thoughts and their feelings are going to directly affect the group and the outcome of the situation that's at play. Hopefully everybody is doing their mental exercises and focusing on things like changing the weather. I've admitted it before. I can do it. There are things that I can do, but I want to be better. I want to be able to part that Red Sea. I want to be able to look off into the horizon and as far as my eyes can see and even farther affect the weather, so that if I need water for my crops or I need the snow to stop or whatever the situation, I'm able to do that. I've been able to look at a spot on the map and change the weather in that immediate area, but not as effectively as I would like. For instance, reducing hurricanes in an area or tornadoes. I'd like to be able to banish them from an entire spot on the map rather than a direct focal point, smaller relative area. I desire to, and I will be able to, affect a larger zone with practice, and I desire to do it more quickly, instantaneously, as opposed to it taking a few minutes, because I know that there will be times where I will need to see immediate results. And these are all things that we are told that we can do. We can do all of the things that Jesus did and more. We just have to put our minds to it and have the faith in knowing that it will happen and put the time and practice into developing those skills. I also know that we'll be able to do certain things without practice. We'll just be gifted with those abilities when we need them. But it's always better to be prepared and fine-tuned and hone our skills now, because utilizing those abilities now, even to a lesser degree, is exerting our free will. And so we're letting the universe, the powers that be, whoever it is or whatever it is that you believe in, know that, hey, this is something that we want to do and we're working on it. So we're giving permission for that to flow freely down the line when it's needed. If I were to look up into the sky and say to myself, I'll never be able to move that cloud from the left to the right or up and down, it's impossible. I don't have those abilities. It's never going to happen. We have to have the faith. We have to know inherently that we can do everything that we put our minds to. In regards to the matter of the alternate timelines, I do feel as though that's a probability more likely than a possibility now with the research that I've done, especially the past year. And that is another reason that I say focus on what you want to see happen rather than the narrative that they'd like for you to believe is the only outlet or the only possibility. Some people are going to struggle and have it worse than others. I believe now mostly that some people are going to have a different path than I am because of their thoughts regarding the situations when everything was coming together. In other words, when the negativity was forced upon them, if they choose to believe that and live in the negativity, then they're going to be on a different road than I am. And like we talked about when I did my year-end review there, remember, highs and lows, ups and downs, extreme highs and extreme lows, from the worst states of depression for some people to the highest epitome of good feelings and love and kindness and, oh my gosh, I hit the lottery type feelings, and somewhere and everywhere in between. Also, keep in mind what we spoke about when I did that year end look into the future thing in regards to AI technology and how much of what we're seeing is actually real versus AI. Train your minds and your bodies. Pray for discernment. Put the energy toward having discernment so that you can look at something and you'll be able to feel in your gut if it's real or if it's not. How many times in just the past couple of months have we seen instances of supposed protests in one part of the country, for instance, California, that come to find out they were a protest from several months or several years ago from an entirely different portion of the United States. There was a woman who was screaming, there's a baby in my car, there's a baby in that car, that was taken out of the car or got out of the car when there was a crowd riot around her. They were reporting that last week as though it happened in the most recent California protests. That hadn't. It was something that was months old, and they just kind of weaved and threaded it into the current event story to change the narrative, to drive fear, anger, to separate the masses. It's all a show. I brought up the headlines on my phone last night as I was looking for show notes as I tape. By the way, today is Friday, so if anything happens between now and when you hear the show next week, know that it's not that I didn't want to cover it. It just hasn't transpired yet, by the way. And there was an article about Melania, and conspiracy theorists are making the rounds again, and headlines are coming out that Melania, or at least the real Melania, is not the one that was at Trump when they had the Air Force ceremony or whatever when he was given the flag, because of her behaviors, because of her expressions, because of what lip readers say transpired between the two of them. Was she AI? Was she a clone? Was she a robot? Was he? How do you know? And some of you out there might be saying to yourselves, well, if she says that we can change the outlooks of things based on our thoughts and our feelings and the energy that we push toward one outcome or another, Why is she also telling us to prepare and have been telling us to prepare? Because if we can control our own destiny 100%, then it wouldn't be an issue, right? We would have the utopia that we dreamed of, and we wouldn't have to worry about all of this survival stuff and what could potentially happen. Very good question. Because there is a percentage of what we can change on our own, but there is a bigger percentage of what will be changed based on the energy of the collective consciousness and based on the tools and the tricks that the dark side is using to thwart our free will. Go back and listen to the archives. I'm on Rumble, I'm on YouTube, I'm on so many different platforms. I'll advertise them later because I can never remember them and I have to read most of them off and I still forget some. But I said to you before Trump set foot into the White House this term that my concern is that enough people will wake up in time. And my concern is that the energy will not be switched to where it needs to be in time for when things start to get tense and really start to matter. And that's paraphrasing, but that's in essence what I've said. Go back and listen to it. It's there, it's recorded. While I see people waking up every day, there are also people that refuse to realize what's really going on, and they're still comatose, and it's going to matter number-wise. And also, even if they've woken up, they have to be able to get themselves into a state of consciousness where they're calm, cool, collected, and centered so that they can portray and push the energy of what they want to see happen out. Because if there's still that fear and there's still that anxiety hidden beneath the surface, even if you're putting on your big boy pants and your brave boy face, the universe, God, your creator, knows when you're trying to bullshit. Plain and simple. It is truly a lifestyle change, not just lip service. And this is where everything matters in regards to that type of energy. So fortunately or unfortunately, that yet remains to be seen, what we go through and to the extent of what we go through is going to be driven by our own thoughts and also the thoughts as a collective. So we can change certain things and we may be able to jump timelines, as it were, and have it less painful and have us go through less strife than the people who aren't as awake and as capable in their abilities as we are or as we hope to be. And then there's the other element who flat out doesn't want to believe it. And there's also, let me stress, sorcery and witchcraft at play from the dark forces. They're pulling out all the stops. I've been saying that for months too. So know this, you can shout from the rooftops as much as you want about how great a person you are or how downtrodden you've become as a result of what your family has done to you in the past or an ex-relationship or an ex-friend or whatever the situation that's involved in what your mindset is at the present time. And you can post to your blue in the face all over Facebook about all the wonderful things that you and the family are doing and what you have and how perfect and loving your personal family structure is. But you know what? A lot of us who are sensitive feel the truth, and the higher power certainly knows the truth. So feed your ego all you want. That's something else that we've talked about for years on my show, and especially the last year as I've been trying to prepare you for what's ahead. If you've got that ego still driving you and you're still posting on Facebook about all of the great things that you have and what you're doing, and in reality, that's just you trying to make yourself feel better and oppress other people. How much are you really doing for the community? How much have you spent working on your inner self? How much have you let go that resentment, that jealousy, that whatever? And every time that you make a post, do you stop and think about how those less fortunate than you might feel by reading that? And if you took that energy in that 10, 15, 20 minutes a day and really did a kind deed for somebody else and just didn't say anything about it, if you weren't getting 35 likes and recognition on it, would you still even do it for somebody? You need to do a mental overhaul and a total and complete workover on yourself first, and then let that spread out to others. Why are you trying so hard to convince everybody else about how wonderful you are or how great you have it? If you were secure in yourself and in your own personality, you wouldn't need to do that, because how you felt and how you feel about yourself as a person inside is what truly matters. And so you wouldn't need to look for outside approval by showing off. Would you? It not only screams insecurity, it screams inauthenticity. I mean, if you're on there promoting your business, different story, because we need to do those things in order to promote our business. And it's all in context with what we're trying to achieve. And oh, by the way, what are you going to do with all of your free time if the grid goes down and you don't have anybody else to show off to? Where is the time that you could have been investing in a true life skill, learning how to can, how to grow your own garden, teaching your children survival skills? When that Band-Aid gets ripped off, it's really going to hurt. Okay, so I am going to play that weather clip and listen to it with an open mind and keep something else in your brain as you're listening to this. We listen to the news, right? 6 o'clock news, we're on the radio, driving home from work. Chance of rain tomorrow, 60% in your area or 80% in your area. So you go home. Talk to your significant other, your wife, your husband, your kids. Call your friend on the phone. Hey, what do you want to do tomorrow? I don't know. It's supposed to rain tomorrow. Yeah, they say it's going to rain. I heard that on the news too. Yeah, so you want to like hang out the next day? Yeah, let's do that. Let's skip tomorrow because it's supposed to rain. That statement, it's supposed to rain tomorrow. You telling your friend, telling their friends, telling your family that you got a wife, her husband in the house and a couple of kids, it's four people whose energy is thinking it's going to rain tomorrow. So you're putting that energy toward that thought. And then you talk to your friends and everybody listens to the radio station or the newscast or both is thinking it's going to rain. So they're unconsciously or subconsciously putting their energy toward the thought that it's going to rain. Then why doesn't it rain? Because two things, weather modification, which is the wild card in all of this. And maybe there are enough people out there that are awake. You know, I don't really want it to rain. I wish it wouldn't rain tomorrow. It's not going to rain. I'm not going to let it rain. I'm going to change the weather and then it doesn't rain. How about that? Is that too crazy for you guys to wrap your heads around? Is it too weird? Is it too woo-woo? Give it some thought. Because how many times in your life have you said, I don't want to go to work tomorrow. I'm going to be sick. I think I'm going to be sick. I feel sick. I don't think I'm going to be better in time for work tomorrow. So when you wake up in the morning, you're feeling much worse. Too sick to go to work. You don't know why, but somehow in the middle of the night, you just got worse because you willed it to happen with your words. Words are spells. We've gone over this before in the show. The energy you put behind the words is what the reality will be. Children and animals instinctively know this and have this ability because they haven't been taught otherwise, that it's not sensible, that it's not logical.
The Weather Channel is doing witchcraft on you. And what I mean by that is they can predict the weather. But they don't really predict it. They make you believe the weather is gonna be how it is. And if enough people believe in it, then it happens. Because they know we, as people, as humans, we can control the weather. And if they make you believe in something, then it happens. If enough people believe. Even right now, it's so hot right now, not a cloud in the sky. But if I believe enough, it will become cloudy. Not a cloud in the sky. But if we start believing, we can make it rain.
Clip was from Kimber Kiss. The comments on here absolutely slay me. There's somebody at the No Kings rally talking about how we had a native leader speak over us. As soon as he ended his prayer, a massive thunderclap roared and we all cheered and the rain opened up. It was powerful. Think about that. They're at a rally and the skies opened up and it poured on them. What does that tell you about what the higher powers think or the energy around thought about the rally? Rain out. Oh, by the way, that's the only other wild card in these equations is what source wants, source gets. So that's the only other energy that has the power to change these scenarios. And that was the perfect lead-in for my next two clips regarding the No Kings rallies. Let's listen.
Yeah, no kings. Oh, except for that one time when the kings told you to stay inside and put on masks and get vaccinated, and if you didn't, then we would find you and get you fired and watch you get torn away from your family and loved ones and not say goodbye to the dying loved ones. And I'm starting to get confused.
A lot of the people that went to the No Kings are about to find out.
You cheered for it. You stood in the middle of a live surveillance drill and called it justice. This wasn't resistance. This was system calibration in real time. While you chanted No Kings, Palantir was running facial recognition at scale. Dataminer was logging emotional volatility like stock price movement. Accenture was already drafting proposals for international clients. This wasn't a protest. It was a behavioral field test. And oligarchs didn't stop you, they tracked you. And now that training data is off to market. Israel gets the crowd suppression playbook. India gets the sentiment scoring API. Brazil gets your movement patterns for predictive arrests. You didn't topple power, you have sacrificed state control. They sold you rebellion as a branded event. You filmed it, tagged it, gave them the metadata, and now every future uprising starts with your blueprint. You screamed, no kings, but you never asked who was funding the crime.
Nothing you do is without price.
I threw in some Tom Petty there because I thought it was appropriate. The clips were from Heathen K9 and I Believe in Me Gospel Channel. And the next clip. What would have happened at that rally or any other liberal rally for that matter if liberals had told the truth?
Sir, can I ask why you're out here protesting today?
Because someone's got to lie to the Hispanics to make them think the Republicans are the bad guys.
Why are you out here today?
As a liberal, we have to make the world think we're caring people.
Benedict?
What made you decide to come out here today?
I gave up my job to protest full time, so poor people don't have to.
What's the main goal of today's protest?
We're here for unity, so if you don't agree, get the fuck out.
What exactly are you protesting today?
I don't know the issue, but I stand in solidarity with whatever's trending right now. What's your goal being out here today?
These people don't vote unless you scare them. That's why we show up.
I major in social justice, so I know what's best for communities I've never lived in.
Why are you out here protesting today? Because people of color need strong white allies like me to fight their battles for them.
Because someone's got to rile up this community into thinking the right's the bad guys.
That clip was two Gentry Jeevers, and the next one, Chelsea Explains, talks about fascism.
So what will full-blown fascism look like for a wealthy white person living in a blue state? Well, it's going to look really normal at first. In fact, your life might even get better. Tax breaks and more order. There will still be your favorite granola at Whole Foods. There will still be dogs at the dog park. There will still be people pushing strollers down tree-lined streets. But here's what you start to notice. Someone you follow disappears. A neighbor gets flagged for something that they said. You get nervous to speak out because the social cost is getting higher and higher. The art's all flat because satire is not allowed anymore. Every news channel sounds exactly the same. But you're still safe, technically. Except for that safety is not real. It is rented. It is only yours as long as you either stay insignificant and small or useful. If you think your wealth will save you, well, you're wrong. Ask any oligarch who's fallen out of favor. If you think your business will save you, it won't. If you are seen as disloyal, you will be forced to hand over certain documents, to turn people in, to refuse business to certain people or else. And your kids are not going to be spared from this propaganda or this punishment. They will either be brainwashed and fall in line, or they will rebel. And the cost of them getting caught or getting in trouble is going to be huge. So even if you decide to stay small, it doesn't guarantee safety for your family. If you're feeling totally frozen right now and you don't know where to start, that's what they want. They want us to already be either numb or scared. And I am already scared to post stuff like this. I think about the consequences it could have for me or my family down the road. But I'm privileged enough right now that I can speak out about this. And there are people who already have it all on the line. So if you are privileged enough to speak out about this, please just don't be silent. Silence normalizes it. Let people know that you're an ally. Let people know that you don't think this is okay. Okay?
And a Mexican tears down the U.S. flag at a park and puts up a Mexican flag.
You're not going to tell me what to do. This is Mexican land.
Oh, okay.
Look at that flag, because that flag isn't on the floor, is it?
Hey.
Is it?
Hey,
you can't say I'm disrespecting. No, esta es mi tierra. Esta es mi tierra. Esta es mi tierra.
Come here.
Okay, my people kill you.
Turn around.
I'm going to see you're hurting me. You're going to regret it when you... Okay.
Hey.
Touch me, my... When your kids die. When your kids die. You're squishing my hand and they already know. You don't need to take me. Take me.
She's on her own. She's all right. Good.
All this happening this morning around 9:30. The Kern County Sheriff's Office says 24-year-old Crystal Aguilar cut the chain securing the flagpole at the entrance to the park, removed the American flag, threw it into the mud, and replaced it with the flag of Mexico. When park rangers attempted to detain Aguilar, she responded with a slew of threats. She was taken into custody and booked into jail on several charges, including threatening a peace officer, vandalism, and resisting arrest.
She threatened their lives and their children's. There's absolutely no respect from these people. It's disgusting to see. There needs to be harsher punishment for crimes such as these. American liberals aren't much better. They have the audacity to try to go to another country and tell that country what to do. In this next clip from Community News, Egyptians stopped foreign nationals at their border.
Your message has been already received, and you can go back and turn back to Cairo. We're supposed to arrange all of that.
We could do it in America. Okay. Why can't we do it here?
Because this is not America, buddy. This is not the land of, oh, I'm sorry, officer, you can't do that to me. I know my rights. No, this is the land of, you don't listen to the police, you get to pick your teeth off the ground. And we tried to tell you that, but you don't listen. So go home.
Papers, please. Papers. Of course. Run.
Yes.
Papers, yeah. Got it here. Just finished reading it myself. Run.
And Chicago's debt must not be high enough because Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson announces that he plans to give out grants to black people as reparations.
Remembering our past and working towards a more just future, investing in black is not a criminal act. Sister Zakiya says she need a witness, so I'm going to say it again. Investing in black is not a criminal act. So good to have your own amen corner show up.
We've come to this planet looking for intelligent life. Oops, we made a mistake.
And this guy in a polyamorous relationship explains why he paints his nails to get chicks. Because that's perfectly normal, right? This clip comes from the Ruppel.
If I can answer it for you while walking in the airport, I'm a heterosexual adult male who really likes women. And as a heterosexual male who really likes women, I do one thing that I think really helps me get women. I listen to women. Now, you may not know this about me, but I have two female partners. I'm in a polyamorous relationship. It's been 8 years now that I've been with these two women. Beauty, of course, is in the eye of the beholder. I think they're really hot. And they said, you know, it'd be really hot if you painted your nails, because that would be sexy. Now, like I said, I'm a heterosexual male. You might not be, but I like women. So when the object of my affection, women, tell me what looks good on men, and what they would find attractive, I tend to do that. Now, the interesting thing is, John, I have no desire to sleep with you. So I'm not really interested in what you have to say about my nails. And if you ever painted your nails, you'd find out that the only people who seem to insult you are men, which would mean that men don't find your nails attractive. So good news, men don't want to sleep with you. But I found some women who do want to sleep. And I listen to them. How about, if you're interested in women, look at the men who have women. Maybe copy them, since you're not going to listen to them. Okay, bye.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
I tend to disagree with that man's philosophy about what he's telling other men. I lean toward this one from Rip from Yellowstone, courtesy of CBS News.
Because he's dark, you know, he's a lover. He's a good person. He's loyal as hell. I always thought that I would affect guys with this role, like, because, you know, usually my audience has been guys.
Yeah.
But it's amazing to see how I've affected women and how much they're in love with that American old school badass man.
Worked then. I guess it still works now.
Listen, that never goes out of style.
Tim Walz makes the news again this week as a Democratic Satanist thanks him for not standing in the way of spreading Satanism in the state.
Hi there, this is Sharon Duffing. I'm at the Minnesota State Capitol. It is Friday, April 4th, 2025, and I'm here to double check on what everybody's been talking about on social media, is this plaque. in honor of our governor, Tim Walz. And it is from people that are supportive of his efforts. And there it is, right here in the East Hall, lower level. That reads the Democratic Coalition of Satan Worshippers. Thanks, Governor Tim Walz, for not standing in the way of spreading Satanism in the state capitol building. Satan has a special place for you.
The next clip from the Berm Pit podcast shows Carter and Nixon talking about why no American president or elected official will ever go against Israel.
Of Jimmy Carter. Basically, anybody in Congress that goes against Israel is not going to get reelected. Also, Richard Nixon, the Republican, said essentially the same thing.
Americans don't want to know. And many Israelis don't want to know what is going on inside Palestine. It's a terrible human rights persecution. There are powerful political forces in America that prevents any objective analysis of the problem in the Holy Land. So this is a taboo subject. And I would say that if any member of Congress did speak out, as I just described, they would probably not be back in the Congress the next term.
Let me explain something about what is called the Jewish lobby in this country. Because of what happened in World War II, because of the Holocaust, are going to be put first priority on the survival of Israel. And they believe that America's survival and security is directly related to Israel's. In other words, their belief is that being for Israel first means that does not mean you're putting America second, because they think it goes together.
If you buck the Israeli lobby, you're not going to get reelected. And that's coming from two presidents of two different parties.
And courtesy of Tucker Carlson, Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz get into it on Iran.
How many people live in Iran, by the way?
I don't know the population.
At all?
No, I don't know the population.
You don't know the population of the country to topple?
But how many people live in Iran?
92 million.
Okay. Yeah,
how could you not know that?
I don't sit around memorizing population tables.
Well, it's kind of relevant because you're calling for the overthrow of the government.
Why is it relevant whether it's 90 million or 80 million or 100 million? Why is that relevant?
Because if you don't know anything about the country...
I didn't say I don't know anything about
it. Okay, what's the ethnic mix of Iran?
They are Persians and predominantly Shia. Okay,
Even, you don't know anything about Iran. So,
I am not the Tucker Carlson expert on Iran.
You're a senator who's calling for the overthrow of the government.
You're the one who
don't know anything about the country.
No, you don't know anything about the country. You're the one who claims they're not trying to murder Donald Trump.
No,
you're the
I'm
one
not
who,
saying
who,
that.
Who can't figure out if it was a good idea to kill General Soleimani, and you said it was bad.
You don't believe they're trying to murder Trump.
Yes, I do.
Because you're not calling for military strikes against them in retaliation. If you really believe that.
We're carrying out military strikes today.
You said Israel was.
Right, with our help. I'm saying we. Israel is leading them, but we're supporting them.
Well, you're breaking news here, because the U.S. government last night denied, the National Security Council spokesman Alex Pfeiffer denied on behalf of Trump that we were acting on Israel's behalf in any offensive capacity.
No, we're not bombing them. Israel's bombing them.
You just said we were.
We are supporting
this is
Israel.
High stakes. You're a senator. If you're saying the United States government is at war with Iran right now, people are listening.
And in the more conspiracy theories becoming real section tonight, have you heard the one about your toilet paper being weaponized?
What if I told you they've changed the toilet paper? Yes, the very thing you use to wipe your most sensitive area has been weaponized against you. For years, they've been quietly changing the ingredients in your toilet paper. And if you've looked at the packaging recently, you might have noticed something strange. Many brands proudly announce that they donate to Big C Research. Sounds like a good thing, right? But what if I told you that might just be a cover-up, mocking us in plain sight? Because here's the kicker. They've loaded modern toilet paper with PFAS, also known as forever chemicals. These aren't just any chemicals. These are the ones linked to the Big C, and not just any kind, bowel Big C. You see, PFAS were originally created for things like waterproofing, nonstick pans, and industrial coatings, but somehow they found their way into toilet paper. And unlike other chemicals, PFAS don't break down. They stay in your body, building up over time, accumulating with every single use. Now think about that for a second. Your skin is absorbent, especially in that area. Every time you wipe, you're exposing yourself to rogue cell's best friend, toxins that don't leave. And yet, no one's talking about this. No warnings, no big news coverage. Just brands quietly admitting they donate to bowel rogue cell research as if they already know what's coming. So let's ask the obvious question, why? How does something as simple and easy to make as toilet paper end up in this situation? This isn't an accident. Just like with toothpaste and Band-Aids, they make sure these toxins come into direct contact with the most absorbent parts of your body. So the next time you reach for that roll, ask yourself, do you really know what you're wiping with back there? I'm going to go ahead and say this is just a joke for entertainment purposes.
But it's not a joke. There were several years I did not eat pork at all because I just didn't feel right when I ate it. It made me sick, even though I'd been eating bacon and pork products my entire life up until that point. Went a couple of several years without eating any pork at all, and then started to indulge again in things like bacon and fried pork chops. And lately, I've been getting the same feelings again. I've been geared in prayer and vision not to eat pork and that it's not good for me and to stay away from it. Let's listen to this next clip about mRNA and pork.
mRNA vaccines have reached the pork industry, and here's what they're not telling you. So all across the U.S., pork can be vaccinated with the mRNA vaccine and not be labeled on the packages that you are buying in the grocery store. So we have no idea what pork has been vaccinated, what pork hasn't been. My best advice to get around this is find a great local pork dealer, go directly through them. And as always, guys, buy American and buy local.
Okay, that was from OMG Got Worms channel. Disgusting name, but they have facts. The next one. We've talked about Peter Thiel before on the show. This one is about Peter Thiel and Palantir and how he thinks that technology can replace politics, or at least be used as an alternative to politics. The clip is from More Perfect Union.
I want to play for you one of the most chilling clips I've ever heard. And just hold on and trust me, because it's not that chilling until you realize what it means.
The basic idea was that we could never win an election on getting certain things because we were in such a small minority. But maybe you could actually unilaterally change the world without having to constantly convince people and beg people and plead with people who are never going to agree with you through a technological means. And this is where I think technology is this incredible alternative to politics.
That's tech billionaire and Republican mega donor Peter Thiel speaking at a Libertopia, a libertarian conference in 2010. He's basically saying that his political ideology is so unappealing that it'll never win elections. And that's one thing he's right about, because he's railed against women having the right to vote, complained so much about diversity, and written some really disgusting stuff about sexual assault and consent. But he knows that he can use technology as a unilateral alternative to politics, and that should really freak you out. Thiel is one of the co-founders and biggest investors in Palantir, a CIA-funded technology company that has contracts across the government for their data software. Here's their CFO speaking a few years ago.
We continue to advance our mission of becoming the U.S. government's central operating system as we extend our footprint across defense, healthcare, and civilian agencies.
And while both President Obama and Biden did sign Palantir contracts, President Trump is taking it way further. There are new contracts with ICE, something literally called Immigration OS, and the IRS. So 15 years ago, Peter Thiel, like the supervillain in a movie explaining his plan to the hero, admitted that he can use technology to get his ideas across when they're unpopular, completely subverting democracy. And today, one of his technology companies is gaining more and more power within the government, building the very systems our government relies on. And oh yeah, this is the CEO.
The central risk to Palantir and America and the world is a regressive way of thinking that is corrupting and corroding our institutions that calls itself progressive, but actually, and is called woke, but is actually a form of a thin pagan religion.
If you're a progressive, if you have progressive values, meaning you just, I don't know, care about other people, the CEO of the company building America's technological back end thinks of you as the central risk. He thinks of you as the enemy. Are these the people you want running the systems you rely on, or worse, the systems that surveil you?
My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at MAGGIE_HEART at outlook.com to get it fixed.
Has anyone else heard about this? Supposedly, Trump is going to sign a bill regarding undocumented illegal aliens that have been working for years in this country. Let's listen to this.
Breaking news, Donald Trump announced yesterday that he would be signing an executive order to protect undocumented immigrants that have been working for years in the farm industry, hotel industry, and leisure businesses. If this does happen, this is a major win for the undocumented community, and yet no one is talking about it.
And the rest of the planet seems to be sick and tired of the illegal situation and are finally starting to protest and fight back. This next clip, thousands march in Belgium demanding remigration. By Raging West.
We are here again today to demand remigration. We are going to make sure that the lands of our ancestors remain the lands of our descendants. We're going to reclaim our future. We're going to reconquer Europe. And remigration will achieve that. Remigration is inevitable.
And also from Raging West, 76% of Pakistanis in Bradford, England marry their first cousin.
76% of Pakistanis in Bradford marry their first cousins.
I know.
Pakistanis make up 3%. Pakistani men make up 3% of the UK population, or Pakistanis do. They're responsible for 33% of child defects at birth.
I've seen
they are being born retarded. It's costing us a fortune. It's costing the economy a fortune. It's billions and billions because Mohammed married his cousin. Well, yes. I don't care what Muhammad done in the 7th century because he was a barbarian warlord. So enacting what he done, no, it's no longer right. It's never been right, and it has to stop in Great Britain.
And in Birmingham, England, the Brits have finally had enough. They had a protest screaming, "Terrorist scum off our streets." I threw a little Yakety Sax by Boots Randolph, also widely recognized as the Betty Hill theme song, and What's Up by Four Non Blondes. The next clip explains how just about every English mayor, it seems like, is now a Muslim. There have been protests in lots of other countries, including Ireland, but as far as Europe and especially England go, in my opinion, it's really late to start protesting. They should have done something about this a long time ago. Our thoughts and prayers go with all of these other countries in their struggles, and of course, for our nation. Also,
the mayor of London is Muslim. The mayor of Birmingham is a Muslim. The mayor of Leeds is Muslim. The mayor of Blackburn is Muslim. The mayor of Sheffield is Muslim. The mayor of Oxford is a Muslim. The mayor of Luton is a Muslim. The mayor of Oldham is a Muslim. The mayor of Rochdale is a Muslim. All of this was achieved by only 4 million Muslims out of the 66 million people in England. Today, in England, there are over 3,000 mosques. There are over 130 Sharia courts in England. And there are more than 50 Sharia councils. 78% of Muslim women do not work and receive state support and free accommodation. 63% of Muslims do not work and receive state support and free housing. State-supported Muslim families have an average of 6 to 8 children who all receive free accommodation. Every school in the UK is required to teach about Islam. The number one most common baby name in England is Muhammad. This is not immigration. This is invasion. And I pray.
to lighten it up some, Gentry Givers gives us this next clip on the greatest one-liners of Senator Kennedy.
They can steal your socks without taking your shoes off. Mm-hmm. I talk to myself. I say, Kennedy, today you're going to follow Jesus. And by 10 o'clock, I still want to follow Jesus, but I also want to slap the hell out of somebody. As I've said about her before, I think she's the reason there are directions on a shampoo bottle. Someday pigs may fly, but I doubt it. It looks like it was put together by a heroin addict with a socket wrench. The American people look at it, and they just want to jump out of a moving car. If the White House, during the President Biden's term, had discovered life on Mars, they would have sent it money immediately.
It is delivering precisely the result that you seek.
Did you just parachute in from another planet, Mr. Secretary? General, you believe in open borders, don't you? Let me just say for the record,
it's wrong.
My aunt's Facebook page has more credibility than you do. I mean, you call Senator Sanders everything but an ignorant slut.
The senator's time has expired and there are other senators waiting.
I've got a bunch more tweets. Thank you for your objective advice.
I'm sure you do.
I want the record to reflect that I did not call Senator Sanders an ignorant slut. If I could vote no twice, I would. I believe love is the answer, but I own a handgun just in case. I don't think it's a complicated question, Madam Administrator. You're asking us for more money every year, more money, and it gets worse, worse, and worse. In the real world, when you fail, you get fired. In government, when you fail, you get more money because obviously you need it.
Will we see both sides come together and put something before the president that he's willing to sign?
Don't know yet, of course. I wouldn't bet my house on it.
And this next clip is by the same lady that I played that did the fireman thing a couple weeks ago. This time she's talking about her son in school protecting himself. The clip is from ADHD Reacts.
So I was telling a client that this year my son dropped a kid for calling his Vietnamese friend racial slurs. He told him to quit being a racist. And the kid put his hands on him, and my son gave him something to think about on the way to the nurse. Now, I picked my kid up from school and took him for ice cream. And my client says, stop telling your kids if someone hits them, hit them back. You're part of the problem. No, I'm not. I'm the solution your kid wasn't ready for. If you think I'm going to send my child into school like a little lamb and tell him, go get an adult in the midst of being mollywopped, absolutely not. This isn't Daniel Tiger's conflict resolution. This is real life. I don't raise bullies, but I'm sure it's not raising a victim who stands there like, please stop hitting me, I'm emotionally aware. My kid's gonna pop off like they've been waiting their whole life for the green light. I'm not gonna sit there in the principal's office like, oh, I told him to walk away. Because no, look, I didn't. I told him to aim center mass and don't stop until it's over. And if your kid started it, I don't care how it ended. If you want to raise your child to be a gentle negotiator, go for it. But if they bring that open palm diplomacy into a hallway fistfight, they're going to meet my kids' knuckle biscuits. I'm not sending my kids to school so they can work on their breathing exercises mid-ass whooping. They're not going to sit there like, I'm feeling unsafe in my body right now. And if you think that way, it's because your kid loses every fight they start. Cry about it.
The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you. It's Gen X time. Here is Gen X Gina 66.
Sorry, I just woke up. I'm gonna take a shot here. If you're the person calling me with no caller ID, I'm not answering. Statistically speaking, you're wasting your time. No one's gonna answer that. Literally, I don't know anyone who would. Let me just turn the tables. Mr. or Mrs. Caller ID, would you answer the phone? If you called you? Or if someone else with no caller ID called you? Would you answer? I can guarantee you with 100% confidence that no Gen Xer is answering that phone. You're not going to ask us if our refrigerator's running. Michael Hunt.
Next, we have the real Slim Sherry and Bubsy Boopsy.
Is it just me or does anybody else hate the sound of rolling around in your car? It drives me insane. I always have like 12 water bottles and a couple of Stanleys just rolling around like loose bowling balls because I have kids and they don't use the cup holders. When I was growing up, we didn't even have cup holders. If you wanted one, you had to buy a sad-looking plastic one that you hung onto your window. You know, the window that you rolled down by hand like you were trying to power the entire car with your upper body strength. Cars didn't have cup holders, but you know what they did have? They had ashtrays. Lots of them. Standard issue. You had them in the front seat, the back seat. There were these little metal trap doors that looked like sad slot machines that you would stick cigarettes or gum wrappers or maybe occasionally your secrets in, just not all at the same time. The car was smoking, but fire was not the goal because everybody smoked. Even people that didn't smoke smoked. That's called secondhand smoke. The entire car was basically a rolling chimney on four wheels. And right next to every ashtray was a cigarette lighter. The little hole you plug your phone into, now that used to be a cigarette lighter. You'd push it in and then you'd wait for it to pop out. It popped out glowing, hotter than Satan Bowl after Taco Bell. Every one of us touched it. At least once. Only once, actually. That was your life lesson. Branded an idiot. Forever. And while your mom was in the store, you know, because we got left in the car, unsupervised, like feral dogs in a Walmart parking lot. No air conditioner, no snacks, no phones. Just pure boredom and a fully stocked ashtray of half-smoked Virginia Slims. You know what we did. We lit them. First, we pretended to smoke, and then we just smoked. By 10, half of us were chain-smoking like divorce attorneys with alimony. But hey, they were rubbing whiskey on our gums as babies, so nicotine feels like progression. Now, seatbelts. Those were optional. An upgrade like power windows or a working radio. We either free roamed the backseat like laundry in a dryer, or we sat backwards in the station wagon, rehearsing for our death. But hey, at least we had plenty of ashtrays. No airbags, no safety ratings, just nicotine, trauma, and a nice little circular scar to remind you to never touch that lighter again.
Makes absolutely no sense to me. How did they deliver pizzas before GPS was a thing?
Look here, little fella. Let me tell you how it used to be, you know, back when we still had to use our brains for things. You see, back in the day, before your little magic rectangle reminded you how to breathe, we actually knew the neighborhoods because, well, we explored the wild and free areas in the real world and not just on a video game. We knew what roads belonged to which little neighborhood, and we didn't need a satellite up in space to tell us where the Johnsons live. See, someone would give you an address and boom, instant recall. It's like a homing pigeon with a mullet, you know? You know, it's a wild concept, right? But if we didn't just know, we had this thing, it was called a map made of paper, and you unfolded it and looked at it with your eyes, and somehow we didn't drive into the lake. See, then you drive there without a British robot lady saying things like, recalculating, or, you know, turn left in 500 feet every couple of seconds. We actually knew what we were doing. Then we would get there and we'd just walk up to the door, knock like a civilized human, and guess what? The person was there waiting for the pizza. No text, no tracking nonsense, just hot food, cold drinks, and a strong sense of direction. And the craziest thing about the whole thing is we could do it in under 30 minutes or less, or the pizza was free. Yeah, you don't know nothing about that.
If you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on. Bless their hearts. And yours, too.
That's all for this week, folks. We're out of time. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next week. Same time, same station.